The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page with the cover story headline, Business Persons of the Year. TBJ selects Cary developers Jordan Gussenhoven and George Jordan for their crucial role in the continued transformation of Cary. And the article begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with a second headline, Fueling Cary. George Jordan III and Jordan Gussenhoven have a passion for Cary that has helped it see remarkable growth. A story by Kaylee Thompson. In 2006, Money Magazine mentioned a town with 112,000 people in the Triangle as being the number five best among 674 small towns across the country under 300,000 in population. The town was Cary, which today boasts of housing more than 180,000, more than a 50% population increase in under two decades. But the same town with a rich household purse is about to throttle its economic afterburner to new heights, primarily thanks to the work of two individuals with deep family roots in Cary. Jordan Gussenhoven never thought he and his uncle, George Jordan III, would have three different major mixed-use projects under construction at the same time in downtown Cary. But that's exactly where they are, with the Rogers office and retail building delivering at the end of 2023, and their two retail and multifamily projects, Meridian East Chatham and Jordan Meridian Cary, starting construction at the beginning of 2023. Their flurry of activity in recent years has had an impact on downtown Cary, helping it transform from a bedroom community into a vibrant destination. Ashworth Drugs on Chatham Street remains as quaint as ever, but within walking distance of the longtime landmark is the new public park, a champagne bar serving patrons flutes of French champagne, and boutique condos whose owners flock to new bars and chic restaurants. Many of those developments are the work of two men whose ties to the town run back to its incorporation in 1871. It gives us a lot of gratification, and we're proud of Cary and our community when you see the citizens in particular, but obviously the visitors as well, just really enjoying being down here, enjoying the businesses, Gussenhoven says. And at the end of the day, it's those tenants that are the key partner operators downtown, and to see them thriving and activated with customers is the goal. Jordan and Gussenhoven's work has been both aspirational and inspirational for a town that has soared from just 70,000 people in 1995. They have helped set the tone and pace of economic development for a community that is reshaping the Triangle and establishing itself as a unique community. That transformation has earned them the title of Triangle Business Journal's 2023 Business Persons of the Year. They are as busy as ever with a number of projects to keep track of in order to keep everything on time and on budget. All that comes while keeping the original vision of bringing the community together and maintaining the history and feel of downtown Cary. So now we've got Meridian East Chatham, Jordan and Rogers coming in together. I think in the ideal world, we would have had some of this construction staged a little spread out, but the timing, bam, everything is happening. It's a little bit of a war zone right now, Jordan says. Ongoing development. One example of their work is the Rogers, which proves to be an outlier when it comes to mixed-use buildings in the Triangle. Most are scrambling for office and retail tenants, but at the Rogers, the 40,000 square feet of office space was 100% leased 9 months before delivery, while the 10,000 square feet of retail space is almost 90% leased. Jordan and Gussenhoven often bring bits of Cary history to their work, and the site used to be the home of the Rogers Restaurant and Motel, which inspired the architecture of the new development. The project appears as two separate buildings connected by a three-story atrium-style lobby. In addition, the pair partnered with the town of Cary to develop the lot across Rogers Alley into a parking deck to serve the offices and retail tenants in the building. The development is one of several the uncle and nephew team has brought to Cary, helping to reactivate downtown by creating more walkability. Their success can be attributed to their passion and love for blending historical sites with new concepts while being willing to take risks. They want to do something special in their community, and that's pretty unique, Cary Mayor Harold Weinbrecht says. There are others like that as well, but they weren't as big of a risk taker as George Jordan was in the beginning. To be the first one, that is pretty brave. He saw that if the town is willing to do that, invest money in downtown, then I'm willing to invest as well. One of those risks is the Jordan Meridian Cary project at the corner of West Chatham Street and South Harrison Avenue. It is the result of almost 10 years of bringing three other entities on board. The project is a partnership between private and public organizations. Northwoods Associates, a partnership of Jordan's George H. Jordan III Development Company, and Gus and Hoven's Chatham Street Commercial, Northview Partners, the Town of Cary, and First Baptist Church of Cary. That was something that took an extremely long time. The church was going through multiple pastors. They didn't have a long-range vision at the time, Jordan says. He says that he, Gustin Hoven, and Mark Barker, the CEO of Northview Partners, wanted a multifamily component to that project. It took many years to get trust. It was a jigsaw puzzle of properties, exchanging properties, agreeing to how we're going to develop this and co-working together. And we thought that would start 2 years ago, Jordan says. Part of the land for the Jordan Meridian Cary sits on the original homestead of Henry Jordan, the original patriarch of the Jordan family in Cary. Henry Jordan was a founding town council member in 1871 and mayor. The rest of the land is owned by the town and the First Baptist Church. The project will have a 196-unit multifamily building, Meridian Cary, connected to a 487-space parking deck and a mixed-use building, Jordan, with 60,000 square feet of office space and 10,000 square feet of ground floor retail space. The team is currently installing concrete footers for the parking deck and expects to deliver the project in mid-2025. Part of the puzzle was with that final use of the multifamily and how the parking worked, Barker says. Having the church next door was collaboratively working together to come up with a concept and a plan that everybody could support and agree to. Their partnership with Northview Partners extends to another project that started this year, Meridian East Chatham. The project is at the corner of Chatham Street and the future Hunter Street Extension. It will have 10,000 square feet of ground floor retail space with 220 luxury residential units above. There will be a 348-space parking deck. Working with the town and local organizations is a priority for Jordan and Gus and Hoven. They're big on building relationships with those in the community and using that help to bring pride and support to downtown Cary. They're deal makers. They will work with the locals, which is one of the coolest things about them, says Moss Withers, principal and CEO of Lee & Associates, Raleigh-Durham. They prefer having local presence than national presence, to where most of the people we work with, it's the exact opposite, because the credibility for the locals is not there compared to the national credit tenants. They're more important to them. It's more important about the culture that you're bringing into the market rather than the credibility of the tenant. Deep Cary roots. The ability to build relationships comes naturally, partially because of their personalities and partially because of their deep family roots in Cary. Jordan says the family has had a presence on Chatham Street in downtown Cary, either a business, development, or house, since 1871. While Henry Jordan was the first Jordan patriarch in Cary, Jordan Buck Jordan Jr., Jordan's father, was the first land developer in the family. Buck Jordan developed some residential neighborhoods in Cary under the Jordan family real estate business. Being born and raised in Cary, George Jordan joined his father in the business after graduating from NC State University with a degree in business administration. However, he didn't get much time to learn the business as his father died unexpectedly in 1983. George Jordan was just 28 at the time. Jordan took over the family business and helped by Uncle C.Y. Jordan ran it until 1989 when he started the George H. Jordan III Development Company. Gus and Hoven didn't anticipate getting into real estate. He spent many years traveling and living in different places. He earned a degree in history from UNC Chapel Hill, but in 2006 he returned to Cary and started working as a leasing associate for Craig Davis Properties. Not long after C.Y. Jordan's retirement and the 2008 recession, Gus and Hoven started working with his uncle. It's like working with a brother and a best friend, someone you enjoy being around in general, let alone getting to do business with, Gussenhoven says. He formed his own development company, Chatham Street Commercial, in 2011 after spending a few years being mentored by Jordan through, though Gussenhoven will tell everyone that he is still learning and being mentored by Jordan to this day. Carla Michaels, Jordan's cousin and CY's daughter, says that even in retirement, CY remained invested in the development of Cary. He stayed involved in what Jordan and Gussenhoven were working on, popping up by their office regularly for updates and chats. In a twist of fate, Jordan has retained those roots via a new house he is building on Page Street in downtown Cary. The house is adjacent to Hillcrest Cemetery, where all of the Jordan family is buried. Jordan purchased the Page Street property about 2 years ago, and with the purchase came the access road that runs between the house and the cemetery. Coincidentally, the burial plots for the Jordan family are directly adjacent to the access road, putting them essentially in Jordan's new backyard. It's a move that Jordan believes fits well with what he and Gussenhoven are trying to do in Cary. Part of what we try to do is remember Cary's past for what we're doing. We're tearing down some buildings, building new buildings, but we're also doing adaptive reuse. Even with the buildings they tear down, Gussenhoven is trying to incorporate a little bit of history to what we're doing in downtown and maybe some of these new buildings having a nod to the past, he says. Downtown Cary emerges. Their first project together in downtown Cary was Midtown Square, which won the 2018 TBJ Space Award for Best Redevelopment Project. Gussenhoven says they started preliminary development plans in 2014 and finished the project in 2017. Midtown Square, at the corner of Walker and Chatham Streets, is an adaptive reuse of the 25,000-square-foot Midtown Shopping Center and an old carpet distribution warehouse turned renovated retail space where Bond Brothers Beer Company now resides. It also included a new 25,000 square foot office and retail building that houses Pizzeria Faulisi. At the time, Bond Brothers was just getting to be noticed. For them to build an office building there was pretty bold because I didn't feel there was any demand for office in downtown Cary at the time, Weinbrick says. That's totally changed since then. Withers credits the developer's success to creativity and understanding that the new generation of office workers wants amenities outside of the office, places they can reach by walking. And that's exactly what they've done since developing Midtown Square, tied in walkable amenities to office spaces while also providing destinations downtown that residents and tourists want to visit. This included relocating the historic Williams House that dates to 1938. The pair moved part of the house from the corner of East Chatham Street and Urban Drive to sit across from Midtown Square. They constructed a three-story addition and activated the entire space with Bull City Cider Works Tap Room, A&B Bridal Shop, and the recently opened RBF Champagne Bar. They also performed interior and exterior renovations to the adjacent Phillips House, built in 1920, to marry it with the look of the redeveloped Williams House. It houses the Good Day Cary gift shop with items from local and small businesses. While figuring out the best way to move the Williams House and whether the entire building could and should be relocated was challenging and took time to work out, it still is not their most challenging project to date. Everyone involved with development in downtown Cary says the Jordan Meridian Cary project has been their toughest development process yet. That's mostly due to how many entities are involved, with Weinbrecht describing it as corralling cats to get everyone on board. Weather says the Baptist Church in particular took the longest to come to an agreement with, since some of the leaders of the church were resistant to the development. Spending 8 years just to get everyone on board might be something that would make other developers walk away, but it did not deter Jordan and Gussenhoven. If it's specific to this area, there's no quit, Wither says. They really are trying to create a vision here that is in their head. It's been in their head for 10 years. They've got real estate developments that they've done, some stuff in other areas, but the passion that they've got for here drives them to not stop continuing to try to find a solution for any project. More on the horizon. Despite having three ongoing projects to keep up with, the pair are still constantly making plans for more development downtown, even if the increased development produces more negative comments on social media. Plans for restoring the historic Ivy Ellington House are underway in collaboration with Jason Hart, founding partner of ThoughtCraft Architects. Gussenhoven says they've partnered with Bill Zahn, owner of Triangle Real Estate Company, and Craig Spitzer, founder and CEO of Early Bird Night Owl, to purchase Gherkin's downtown auto repairs building to do an adaptive reuse of the building with plans to turn it into a restaurant. In 2020, Jordan, Gussenhoven, Zahn, and Spitzer partnered to purchase the Maiton Inn, with Zahn and Spitzer heading up the renovation and management of the hotel. One of the key reasons for buying it was they're, Jordan and Gussenhoven, the biggest developers downtown. The rest of us play a part in it, but it's key to have this as part of the fabric of downtown. Stay a hotel, remain a hotel, and not be converted to some other use, Zahn says. Now, Jordan says, the four are looking to jointly develop more projects, collaborating to support a vibrant downtown Cary. Jordan says he and Gussenhoven were one of the developers to submit their qualifications to the town for the redevelopment of the fire administration building on Academy Street. They're also working on redeveloping their current office at 127 West Chatham Street and the adjacent building at 125. The plans involve restoring the buildings to the original facade from the 1950s and bringing in active retail uses on the ground floor. While that seems like plenty to fill their time for years, there are more ideas and potential plans underway for other sites, meaning their impact will only grow. They've kind of set the way things are done, Weinbrick says. So when people are developing in downtown now, they understand that we expect what they, Jordan and Gussenhoven, have put out there. We expect you to respect our historic properties and make them into something special, and that's what I've seen them do. And now we're going to go to the viewpoint page, as the editor's notebook in this edition is related to the cover story. The headline, Why Cary Developers Were Selected for BPOY, Business Person of the Year. And this is written by Sugata Mukherjee, Editor-in-Chief of Triangle Business Journal. Like every year, it started with a list of names in late fall, from banking to commercial real estate to professional services and higher education. Reporters and editors of the Triangle Business Journal put several names on the table, vetting every name to its fullest by comparing the individual's accomplishments during the year and coupling that with their influence and commitment to the community in 2023. Deliberations went on for hours on certain days in October and early November, and we talked about revenue, employee growth, local board actions, capital expenses, and other topics. Ultimately, Cary developers Jordan Gussenhoven and George Jordan were chosen as the joint 2023 TBJ Business Persons of the Year. Typically, the honor goes to an individual every year, but there has been at least one instance of multiple winners. First Citizens Bank's Holding family won back in 2009. Gussenhoven and Jordan are related. Gussenhoven is Jordan's nephew, and their family roots are deeply tied to the town of Cary, widely regarded as one of the country's most prosperous towns. Gussenhoven and Jordan are much more than just real estate developers, and the sheer number and size of projects already underway in Cary made it easy for us to pick the duo. Jordan and Gussenhoven's work has been aspirational and inspirational for a town that has soared from just 70,000 people in 1995 to 180,000 today. They have helped set the tone and pace of development for a community, reshaping the Triangle and establishing itself as a unique community. What also made this year's pick enticing was the fact that the Jordan family has remained an essential stakeholder in the development of Cary for more than 150 years. Jordan says the family has been in downtown Cary on Chatham Street, either a business development or house, since 1871. While Henry Jordan was the first Jordan patriarch in Cary, George Buck Jordan Jr., George Jordan's father, was the first land developer in the family. Buck Jordan developed some Cary residential neighborhoods under the Jordan family real estate business. Gussenhoven and Jordan are now helping shape Cary with amenities and commercial projects that draw interest from companies scoping out Cary to move jobs because of the town's focus on improving quality of life. The duo remain at the forefront of fostering an entrepreneurial ecosystem with the rise of Cary Founded. This community building organization uses co-working and flexible office space as an economic and social impact tool. Gussenhoven says the organization is committed to entrepreneurs and helping them reach their goals through programming, resources, services, and events. We will not know for some time whether the duo will successfully create an ecosystem of big development projects while considering a broad community impact. There will be plenty of players in the development space itching to get into Cary with architecturally aesthetic office buildings, retail shops, and multifamily communities. And one can almost bet their last dollar that Gussenhoven and Jordan will be at the forefront with additional new plans. And now we turn to the top stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by David Pertell, Disney-themed community to rise in Chatham County. Mickey Mouse fans in the Triangle may have just found their future home. A new community coming to the huge Chatham Park development is designed by Story Living by Disney, a new business venture from the Walt Disney Company. The Disney-themed community called Asteria is in the early stages of development, according to an announcement December 6. Asteria, which is being designed by Disney's research arm, Walt Disney Imagineering, and DMB Development, will be part of Chatham Park, the giant project in Pittsburgh that's led by Cary's Preston Development Company. A press release says home sales for Asteria are anticipated to begin by 2027. Disney's first story living community called Catino is in Rancho Mirage, California, east of Los Angeles. Single-family home prices in Catino are anticipated to start around $2 million, according to the development's website. At Chatham Park, the community will cover 1,500 acres, with plans calling for more than 4,000 residential units, a mix of multifamily and single-family homes, including age-restricted homes for residents 55 and older. Homeowners in Asteria will have access to amenities that include a wellness and recreation center, restaurant, sport courts, swimming pools, community garden, and outdoor space. The community will feature programming with Disney themes. Programs under consideration include storytelling dinners, lessons with Disney artists, and family fun days with Disney-themed activities. The fact that Disney picked Chatham Park shows the incredible demand for housing in the Greater Triangle as more and more people move to the region. We feel an extraordinary sense of responsibility to our residents and the broader community with this project, and we're incredibly fortunate to work with Disney, DMB Development, and Home Builders to create something truly special, Preston Development co-founder Bubba Rawl said in a statement. Chatham Park is planned to have more than 20,000 homes at full build-out. Multiple housing communities in the development have started home sales, and UNC Health recently acquired a large property in Chatham Park in preparation for future expansions to support Chatham's growing population, which is now around 80,000, up from 50,000 in 2000. Eastern Chatham County is seeing an incredible amount of proposed residential developments, including multiple projects for million-dollar homes. Development activity stays hot in Northeast Raleigh. Raleigh apartment builder seeks project on land near Millbrook High, and this is written by Kaylee Thompson. The Northeast Raleigh area around Triangle Town Center could get another apartment complex as that part of the city continues to buzz with investment activity. Sandbrick Management is considering applying to rezone 1.5 acres near the corner of Atlantic Avenue and Spring Forest Road. The Raleigh developer is looking to have the zoning changed from residential 10 to residential mixed use up to three stories. A neighborhood letter regarding the rezoning says the change would allow some flexibility for a proposed multifamily residential use. Further details are unknown as Sandbrick Management did not respond to inquiries. The company has developed several different apartment communities around Raleigh that are typically infill development. The 1.56 acre site at 2210 Spring Forest Road near Millbrook High School is vacant and forested. It is owned by Austin Family Properties LLC and has an assessed value of $192,000. While the land around Triangle Town Center struggled in the past, developers in recent years have been looking to revitalize it with new residential and commercial projects. Two hotels are planned for the area, while restaurants and residences are in the works. Raleigh's Concord Hospital is Raleigh's Concord Hospitality is planning to build an extended stay hotel under the WoodSpring Suites brand. The hotel would be at the corner of Town Center Drive and Triangle Town Boulevard, and a Residence Inn by Marriott is proposed for near the Walmart Supercenter just northeast of the Triangle Town Center. The Pointer Place Shopping Center is set to get a Moe's Southwest Grill and a Brunch's Restaurant. And to the north, hundreds of townhomes are proposed along Capitol Boulevard. But a potential rezoning for a portion of the Triangle Town Center Mall hasn't come to fruition. The mall's owners have yet to file an official application with the city since holding a pre-submittal neighborhood meeting in September 2022. Cohan Retail Investment Group, a New York investment management company, bought the mall in 2021 for $33.25 million. Hotel near RDU sold to Raleigh Real Estate Group. This is written by Laura Bramette. A hotel in a busy travel area of the Triangle has new local owners. The Comfort Suites Raleigh-Durham Airport, RTP, recently sold in a deal totaling $9.1 million, according to Durham County deed records. The Focus Properties, a Raleigh real estate investment firm, is the buyer. The group owns several properties in the hospitality, office, retail, and multifamily categories, including the Siena Hotel in Chapel Hill. The hotel has consistently received the AAA Four Diamond Award. The Comfort Suites is located at 5219 Page Road in Durham near the ICVIA building. The hotel sits on 2.27 acres and was built in 1997. The property has a total taxable value of $6.3 million, according to Durham County records. The seller, Warramug Hospitality, purchased the hotel for $6.32 million in 2016. The Florida-based group is a hotel ownership investment firm. So far this year, at least two other hotel properties in the RDU-RTP area have sold. A Hilton Garden Inn sold for $21.3 million in April, and a Cambria Hotel sold for $10.3 million in May. Each of the sale prices were higher than the property's assessed value. And the last of our top news stories is written by Zach Ezone. St. Augs now facing loss of accreditation. Raleigh School enters turbulent time after firing its president. St. Augustine's University in Raleigh has been told its accreditation status is in jeopardy, a move that comes on the heels of the school firing its president. The Board of Trustees that governs the university's accrediting agency voted on December 3rd to remove the historically black school from its membership as an accredited institution. This follows years of financial challenges and previous sanctions imposed by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges, or the SACSCOC. Without the accreditation, a university is not eligible to receive federal funds, and its students are unable to receive federal student aid from the U.S. Department of Education. According to data from the department, about 84% of St. Augustine's students receive federal loans. The university has 1,239 undergraduate students. St. Augs, a private school, expects to receive an official letter from SACSCOC on January 11. After that, it will have 10 days to submit an appeal, which the school says it plans to do. St. Augs would maintain its accreditation during the appeal process. In another twist, the university's Board of Trustees on December 5 named Leslie Rodriguez McClellan as the school's acting president following the termination of Christine Johnson McPhail, who led St. Augs for nearly 3 years. The board voted in November to terminate McPhail's employment, but she didn't receive official notice until December 5, according to David Tracy, McPhail's attorney. School officials did not release a reason for removing McPhail, but Tracy tells Triangle Business Journal that the firing came after McPhail in October filed an internal complaint alleging that conduct by board members created a hostile environment. Tracy says McPhail experienced recurring instances of discrimination, including demeaning comments based on her gender, from a board mostly made up of men. This conduct escalated during a board meeting in October, after which McPhail filed her complaint. Board members retaliated and threatened McPhail's employment, according to Tracy, a partner at the New York firm Sanford Heisler Sharp. On November 6, Tracy's office informed the university that it was representing McPhail. About a week later, the board voted to terminate McPhail's employment. In a statement from Board Chairman James Perry, the university refers to the situation as a personnel matter and denies unfounded allegations made by McPhail. The board is focused on restoring the university's standing with SACSCOC under new university leadership, it said. St. Augs officials say the school has taken steps over the past year to improve its fiscal health, which has led to improved retention and graduate rates and year-end balanced budgets. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by managing editor Dane Huffman. Sports wagering could have an impact on NC's smaller schools. North Carolina's new openness to sports wagering could have a major impact on college athletic departments that are often outside the limelight. House Bill 347, which Governor Roy Cooper signed June 14, designates some funding to 13 schools in the University of North Carolina system, excluding only UNC Chapel Hill and NC State University. For smaller schools, this could have a major impact. Dick Christie, the athletics director at UNC Pembroke, says his $5 million budget is largely dependent on student fees with some other income such as corporate sponsorships. But the rise in online education is having an impact on student fees. For example, he says the school's online MBA program is doing great, which he says is fantastic for the university, but none of those students pay an athletics fee. In the past, you could take to the bank that 3 out of 4 kids walking campus were traditional students, Christie says. Now about half of the students would be in that type of traditional student situation, and that's brought on the financial crisis for us, he adds. There are less kids in school and more adult learners. This new landscape is not going away. Christie has a long connection to collegiate sports. He is named for his grandfather, who was one of NC State's all-time great football players and scored all of the Wolfpack's points in a 29-26 win over the University of South Carolina in 1957. His number, 40, is retired. With fewer traditional students, Christie has seen his athletics budget diminish by roughly $1 million, so the potential new revenue from sports wagering will help. Right now, we're praying that it's north of $1 million, Christie says. This time, Chapel Hill says no. A modest structure with a lively past will live on for now in Chapel Hill as the city nixed a 12-story proposal. At issue is a building that dates to 1967 at 157 East Rosemary Street. Rosemary Street has been getting more attention recently with a new parking deck on the rise and the town looking to energize the Franklin Street area. Across the street, Grubb Properties is finishing the home to Innovate Carolina at 136 East Rosemary Street. Down at 306 Franklin Street, the town approved Longfellow Real Estate Partners' 8-story lab, office, and retail building. Given the growth, Bill Jackson with TJ Capital LLC sought approval for a 12-story condominium building with ground floor retail at 157 East Rosemary Street. That would have been the tallest building in Chapel Hill and would have replaced the structure that once housed the Trolls and Bub O'Malley's bars. It also would have towered over the Phi Mu sorority behind it. The town council decided growth has its limits after Phi Mu and others pushed back. Despite approval from the planning commission, the council voted 7-1 against the project on just 0.32 acres of land. Red Hat IBM joined push for OpenAI. As the incredible rise of artificial intelligence sends shockwaves through the global business community, big names in technology are coming together. A new group called the AI Alliance includes Red Hat, IBM, and Meta. The alliance says its goal is a so-called open model to drive advancements in AI as opposed to creating proprietary technology. The initiative faces OpenAI's ChatGPT, which led to a global firestorm around the technology after its generative AI chatbot was released in late 2022. More than 50 companies and organizations are part of the AI Alliance, which will bring together developers, scientists, academics, students, and business leaders. It's an interesting move to see companies that would normally go to great lengths to protect their technology decide to join forces, but it reveals the concerns amid high-level executives that they have fallen behind in the AI race. Brewery to add spirits to options. The Glass Jug Beer Lab, a brewery in Durham that started during North Carolina's craft beer craze, is adding liquor to its menu. Starting this month, the Glass Jug will serve draft cocktails alongside its craft beers, hard seltzers, and ginger beer. The move comes as craft beer sales have slowed post-pandemic, while sales of spirits and mixed drinks have grown, the brewery says. The Glass Jug's tap room in downtown Durham is debuting 4 pre-mixed batch cocktails on draft. The draft cocktails will feature North Carolina spirits mixed with local and organic juices and the Glass Jug's hard ginger beer. Since we focus our tap room on products we make, we wanted to be sure each cocktail has at least one ingredient we produce in-house, and all of our cocktails feature spirits produced here in North Carolina, co-owner Chris Creech says. And finally, small Durham company looks to raise big dollars. A technology company that lists a Durham address is quietly trying to raise $8 million. GTM Buddy, which lists a Durham townhouse as its official address, has closed on $6.5 million of a planned $8 million round, according to securities filings. The firm describes itself as a sales enablement platform that helps sales reps build customer relationships and grow revenues. According to a spokesman, the company's employees are remote, including CEO Sridhar Padadeni, a part-time Durham resident. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with Lauren Onasorge's page on tech and finance. North Carolina piles up EV battery wins. Japan's Dai Nippon Printing is the latest company to pick NC. Recruiters called it Project Puma, a Japanese company considering North Carolina to locate a 350-job subsidiary to produce lithium-ion battery pouches for use in electric vehicles. The project, revealed in November to be Dai Nippon Printing's proposed factory in Davidson County, is one in a growing number of battery plants the state has won in recent months on the heels of Toyota in late 2021 announcing plans for a huge plant that will make EV batteries outside Greensboro. Dai Nippon's announcement, along with Forge Nano's planned 200-job factory in Morrisville and Epsilon Advanced Materials' $650 million investment in Brunswick County, could lead to more than 1,000 jobs combined. All three were announced over the past 2 months. But the bet on battery manufacturing in North Carolina will depend on whether enough consumers buy into electric vehicles in the years ahead. A recent survey by J.D. Power shows 63% of consumers are considering an EV, compared to 57% in 2021. In North Carolina, Dai Nippon Printing told state officials it was evaluating multiple factors when selecting a site, from operating costs to labor availability to incentives. North Carolina delivered, offering up a state incentives package worth more than $3.8 million. A project brief disclosed by the NC Department of Commerce shows South Carolina was offering incentives in the $40 million to $50 million range. Dai Nippon picked North Carolina anyway, and it likely won't be the last to do so, as site selection experts say the state is having a real moment when it comes to being the growing battery market. R. Bruce Thompson II, a partner at Parker Poe, who worked with companies such as Apple and Boom Technologies as they were planning projects in North Carolina, says incentives are part of the equation, but other factors matter, from a region's workforce to its quality of life to the site's relative location in the overall supply chain. North Carolina was boosted in a big way by Toyota's decision to build a battery plant here. That's going to continue to pay off for us just because there's such a critical mass. Having the anchor, that Toyota plant in North Carolina, it's really drawn a lot of attention from companies that want to be close to them, Thompson says. Startup, fight climate change with manure. A Raleigh startup is trying to fight climate change one hog farm at a time. Finite Minds, and that's Finite spelled P-H-I-N-I-T-E, mines and manufactures fertilizer from manure. The name comes from the idea that phosphorus is a finite resource, and founder Jordan Fazy says, "We seek to make it renewable." Fazy says half of the world's population is relying on synthetic fertilizer for the food they eat, fertilizer produced in ways that fuel the climate crisis. But yet animal farms are creating the world's biggest renewable source for sustainable fertilizer. Animal farms across the U.S. produce $5 billion of fertilizer every year, but right now about 70% of the value of that resource is being wasted, says Fazy, an Australian who developed three technologies to mine fertilizer present in sewage, but after analyzing the economics, shifted to agriculture, a more concentrated resource and a larger opportunity. And finally, Primordial launches Rolling Fund. One of the Triangle's newest investment firms has launched a rolling fund and is targeting early-stage startups across the region. Durham's Primordial recently launched a rolling fund through AngelList as its next vehicle to invest in early-stage startups. The entry point is low, so low that Jen Sum, the fund director, hopes to attract a number of players in the Triangle. We're doing a $5,000 minimum for four quarters, so it's not a huge capital commitment, she says. And as a rolling fund, fundraising can happen publicly. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page on healthcare and higher ed. Impact of Medicaid expansion begins. NC hospitals receive billions in support in a tough financial time. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is distributing billions of dollars to hospitals throughout the state as healthcare systems face a difficult financial environment. The payments, totaling nearly $2.6 billion, come from the Healthcare Access and Stabilization Program, or HASP, which provides federal funding to hospitals that treat Medicaid patients. The NCDHHS says the funds will be distributed to 102 hospitals throughout the state. This program is part of legislation that state lawmakers passed earlier this year. The implementation of the program was tied to the expansion of Medicaid in North Carolina, which took effect December 1 and could eventually extend health care coverage to an estimated 600,000 residents, according to state officials. The state's share of the cost of Medicaid expansion will be paid by North Carolina hospitals through a new tax of about $550 million a year, according to the North Carolina Healthcare Association. Hospitals will pay the tax and then be reimbursed by federal funds that the state applies for through the Healthcare Access and Stabilization Program. Funding from this program comes at a critical time as hospitals continue to deal with financial challenges following the pandemic. For instance, the financial assistance available to hospitals through HASP was the difference between UNC Health budgeting for a 2% operating margin in this fiscal year or just breaking even. Smaller hospitals in rural areas across the state and country are being hit hardest. Martin General Hospital in Williamston suspended operations and filed for bankruptcy earlier this year, citing financial challenges related to declining populations and utilization trends. Martin General is the 12th rural hospital in the state to close since January 2005, according to data from the Cecil G. Shepp Center for Health Services Research at UNC Chapel Hill. Nationwide, the center says 196 rural hospitals have closed since 2005, many based in the South and Southeast. The HASP payments are calculated based on in-network Medicaid managed care payments, according to NCDHHS. Duke given $100 million to support free tuition. Duke University has landed a $100 million donation from the Duke Endowment, a private foundation based in Charlotte, that will support multiple initiatives aimed at expanding access to the university. Among those initiatives is an effort Duke University announced in June to cover the cost of tuition for certain students whose families fall below specified income thresholds. Through this financial aid initiative, the university will provide full tuition grants to students from North and South Carolina whose household incomes are $150,000 or less. For students from the Carolinas whose families earn below $65,000, Duke will provide full tuition grants plus assistance for housing, meals, and other campus expenses. The university says that this initiative is supporting more than 340 students during the ongoing semester, about 5% of undergraduates. And finally, Durham Biotech seeks partner in gene therapy. A gene therapy company is looking to make a deal to advance one of its clinical programs after recently shifting resources. Atsena Therapeutics on December 4 announced positive safety and efficacy data from an ongoing phase 1-2 clinical study involving patients with a certain rare genetic eye disease that affects the retina. Despite the encouraging results, Atsena doesn't plan to move the program forward on its own. The company is exploring partnering and out-licensing options to advance the program, called ATSN-101, into a pivotal trial, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Kenji Fujita said. And now we turn to On Greater Triangle Growth, written by Ben Tobin. Industrial Park, now available in Aberdeen. Moore County EDP offering a 73-acre parcel to develop. A public-private partnership in Moore County has acquired land for an industrial park. The Moore County Economic Development Partnership acquired a roughly 73-acre parcel in Aberdeen recently for $584,000, according to county deed records. That land becomes the Iron Horse Industrial Park, which the partnership hopes to develop for an industrial user. Today is a momentous day in my organization's history, says Natalie Hawkins, MCEDP president. For the first time ever, we have land under our ownership that we can develop to help recruit quality jobs in Moore County. The partnership received roughly $2 million in grants and other funding to acquire and develop the property, with $1.2 million coming from a state-directed grant and $200,000 loans from each Moore County and the town of Aberdeen. The property was previously owned by the Three Rivers Land Trust, a group based out of Salisbury that focuses on land conservation. Hawkins says that clearing of the site is planned for January or February, and a public industrial access road from NC Highway 211 should begin early next year. We plan to move quickly with our development activities to expedite recruitment of business and industry to the site, Hawkins says. This site will be the first publicly controlled industrial park in Moore County, according to the partnership. It's the latest big news for a county that has seen myriad growth over the past decade. The population grew from 88,247 in 2010 to 99,727 in 2020, all the way up to 105,531 in 2022, according to estimates from the United States Census Bureau. Raleigh firm pays millions to expand community. A Raleigh developer has paid millions to expand into the next phase of a more than 1,000-home development in the region. Greenfield Serenity DevCo, an LLC tied to Greenfield Communities, purchased more than 164 acres in northern Harnett County for $17.75 million, according to deed records filed recently. The land has a Fuquay Verena address and is located northwest of the intersection of Highway 401 and Rawls Church Road. The land is part of Greenfield's Serenity neighborhood, a 550-acre community that will have just under 1,200 homes. Greenfield President Matt Brubaker says that collectively, home builders for the development, David Weekly Homes, Dries Homes, Garmin Homes, and ICG Homes, have sold about 10 homes per month since the neighborhood opened for sales in mid-October 2022. Serenity has been a great success thus far, Brubaker says. Greenfield will break ground on the next section of lots in a few months in an effort to keep lot supply in front of our builders. And finally, New York Group buys Rocky Mountain Mall. A New York investment company has paid millions for a mall in eastern North Carolina that went through foreclosure last year. An LLC tied to Cohan Retail Investment Group purchased the 37-year-old Golden East Crossing Mall at 1100 North Wesleyan Boulevard in Rocky Mount for a little more than $7.6 million. The mall sits on a roughly 53-acre lot and totals more than 485,000 square feet. It's unclear why Cohen Retail Investment Group, which owns the Triangle Town Center in Raleigh and the Asheville Mall in Asheville, decided to purchase the property. Representatives with the company did not respond to a request for comment on the purchase. And now we turn to the On Retail and Restaurants page, written by Laura Brumette. Brazilian Steakhouse coming to Briar Creek. Restaurant is headed to New Weston Hotel, not far from RDU. Raleigh will once again be home to a traditional Brazilian steakhouse. Estampa Gaucha is opening soon in the bottom floor retail space inside Raleigh's new Weston Hotel in Briar Creek. The new restaurant is slated to open in January, about a year and a half after the closure of Brasa Brazilian Steakhouse, which was also in Briar Creek. The Raleigh location will be the third location for Estampa Gaucha. The company is owned by Ezekiel Manfrin, who worked in restaurants in his native Brazil before moving to the United States. Manfrin opened the first Estampa Gaucha in Melbourne, Florida in 2017, followed by a location in Charlotte in 2020. The Raleigh restaurant will now be the company's flagship location with the largest dining room yet, he says. Estampa Gaucha will fill a 6,200-square-foot space. The location will be like the other two restaurants with a traditional Brazilian steakhouse atmosphere and menu. The concept is unlike any other restaurant in the area, Manfrin says. Instead of one executive chef, Estampa Gaucha will have 10 chefs who serve guests tableside, including serving meats on the customary spears. The restaurant will offer 16 different cuts of meat, grilled pineapple and shrimp, and a salad bar. Per person, the experience will cost around $50 to $60, Manfrin says. The restaurant will also have a full bar and a wide selection of wine. Construction is nearly complete in the space, with the project costing around $2 million, Manfrin says. An elevator in the Westin Hotel gives guests access to the restaurant. A separate entrance is on Macaw Street for non-hotel guests. Manfrin has been eyeing an expansion to the Triangle since the Charlotte location opened. Estampa Gaucha will be the only Brazilian steakhouse in Raleigh, he says. Braza, Brazilian steakhouse, a restaurant owned by local entrepreneur Payman Buzuband, closed its doors abruptly in August 2022. The longtime restaurant was located in the Briar Creek Shopping Center in a space just down the road from where the hotel now sits. Manfrin expects demand for the dining experience to be high, given the lack of other options. Christensen, changing concepts at Poolside Pies in Raleigh. One of the Triangle region's most prolific chefs is closing a restaurant in downtown Raleigh, but she says a new concept is on the way. Poolside Pies will permanently close in December. The pizza joint is located at 428 South McDowell Street, next to Pool's Diner, another of Chef Ashley Christensen's concepts. Christensen, the two-time James Beard Award winner, opened the restaurant in 2019. Poolside Pies will close December 24. In its place, Christensen plans to open a new restaurant, though no further details have been shared. Post-pandemic, we just haven't seen consistent enough traffic to support the concept, thus rendering the restaurant financially unsustainable, Christensen says. It's tough, but part of my responsibility as a restaurant owner is to be able to identify when a concept is not financially viable. And finally, Ruth's Chris sets date for North Hills. Raleigh's location of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse is set to reopen in February after 2 years of being closed. The upscale restaurant is on the ground floor of one of Kane Realty's new buildings in North Hills. The restaurant closed in January 2022 due to the demolition of its previous space in North Hills. The new restaurant will have two outdoor patios, a main dining room, a bar, and a waterfall feature. Ruth's Chris will have two private dining rooms, one for up to 100 guests and one for up to 50 guests. And our last reporter page is on real estate, written by Kaylee Thompson. Downtown South in holding pattern. Financial markets cause Kane to wait for better conditions. Kane Realty's massive downtown South district in Raleigh is being held up by the tight capital markets for commercial real estate. In a quarterly update regarding the status of downtown South, Kane's chief operating officer, Bonner Gaylord, said the company is in a holding pattern due to the current economy. Gaylord, in a video posted on the website for downtown South, cited lower interest rates, investors becoming interested in real estate again, and getting necessary funding as factors that need to occur for Kane Realty to start construction on the $2 billion entertainment district, the first phase of which is along South Saunders Street at Interstate 40. Construction was initially supposed to start in third quarter 2022. Our job is to take land and money and put them together to build incredible communities. We've got the land, we just need the money, and then we can get it built and start to move folks in there and create the beginnings of this community that we're so excited about, Gaylord says on the video. On December 4, Gaylord told Triangle Business Journal that Kane continues to work to move the project forward. The current economic environment has made things slower, although we always want to move faster no matter what. This project is going to be absolutely transformational, he said in an email. The quarterly update also included an update about the first couple of phases of Downtown South. That includes the completed Phase Zero, which is the adaptive use of two warehouse buildings that total 45,000 square feet. It'll be 31,000 square feet of office, which is already leased, and 14,000 square feet of retail. Phase One of Downtown South will include 535,000 square feet of office in two buildings, 60,000 square feet of retail, 1,000 multifamily units in three buildings, and 3,500 capacity concert venue, and a 180-room hotel. In the quarterly update, Gaylord said the company has site plan approval and building permits in hand for the first building in Phase 1, a seven-story multifamily building with 280 units and 12,500 square feet of ground floor retail. But this building won't come out of the ground until Kane Realty has the capital it needs to build it. The other multifamily units will be within a 21-story tower and a mid-rise mixed-use building. Longfellow sticking with huge project. A life sciences development that would add to the remaking of downtown Chapel Hill is moving forward. The Chapel Hill Town Council recently approved the rezoning for Longfellow Real Estate Partners' 8-story lab, office, and retail building at 306 West Franklin Street. The building will be about 350,000 square feet, with 8,000 to 12,000 square feet for ground floor retail space. After receiving feedback from residents and the council about wanting to see more outdoor spaces and connectivity, Longfellow moved the parking underground and added another green space along Rosemary Street. Despite the softening life sciences market, Longfellow Managing Director Greg Kapp says Longfellow isn't concerned about getting tenants to sign leases. He believes the timing will line up so that when the building breaks ground, the real estate market will be back on an upswing. And finally, land near Sass eyed for complex. New housing is being proposed in Cary, not far from the Sass campus and where Apple has office space. Dr. Bharat Patel of Clarksville, Tennessee, who is in the hotel business, has submitted a rezoning application to allow for 100 apartments on South Hill Drive off Weston Parkway. The apartments would sit near the Harrison Square Retail Center off Harrison Avenue near Interstate 40. Patel wants to rezone 6.31 acres to mixed use with a preliminary development plan. The property is currently zoned for office research. The site at 1110 South Hall Drive is surrounded mostly by offices, stores, and restaurants. And finally, in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to A Better World, inside the Triangle's nonprofit scene. Nonprofit fundraising up $10 million in North Carolina. The giving spirit is still alive and well in North Carolina. According to the latest data released by the North Carolina Secretary of State's office, professional fundraisers raised $58.05 million between July 1st, 2022 and June 30, 2023. That's up from $47.58 million the previous year. Of this, $43.87 million went directly to charities in 2022 to 23, an increase from $38.9 million the year prior. However, the aggregate percentage of donations going to charities programs in 2022 to 2023 dipped by about 5% from 2021 to 2022. While we saw a slight downturn to the aggregate percentage of donations going directly to charities, I'm pleased to report that the dollar amount of donations going to charities programs increased by nearly $5 million, Secretary of State Elaine Marshall said. New scholars program for NC Aquariums. The NC Aquarium Society has announced the creation of the Jane Smith Patterson Aquarium Scholars Fund in recognition of her work as a champion of aquatic conservation and STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math education. The fund will support the Society Aquarium Scholars Program, which offers grant opportunities to Title I eligible schools in North Carolina, enabling their students to experience immersive education programs with aquarium educators. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.